I have been preaching a series of sermons on the way of the cross. And in the last sermon in this series, I said that the way of the cross is a way of surrender. And today I want to suggest to you that it is also a way of sacrifice. I want to read a scripture to you from Ephesians 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul writes, saying, "Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." It seems that whenever we hear that word sacrifice, we want to run as fast as we can in the opposite direction, because it sounds like it is something that will be negative or be harmful or will hurt us in some way or another. Who is it that looks forward to or enjoys making sacrifices? I don't think any of us do. But the truth of the matter is, many people do it without really thinking about it or labeling it as such. For instance, parents make sacrifices for their children. Often they give up things that they need for themselves in order to have something to give to their children. They sacrifice in place of their children. Sometimes children do it for their parents or brothers or sisters. We're all aware of those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country so that we could continue to live in liberty. People sacrifice without even thinking that what they are doing is sacrificing. So let's be clear about what sacrificing is all about. To sacrifice simply means to give up something, especially for the sake of something or someone else. To give up something in order to give something to someone else, or to give something to some cause or whatever. Let's think about that definition and take it part by part. In the first place, to sacrifice is to give up something. In order for something to be a real sacrifice, that which is given up must have value or be important to the one who is sacrificing. So it has to be something of value, something that is important. If we give something away we don't care anything about, or maybe we just want to get rid of it, that's not really sacrificing. From time to time, Carol and I give items to a charity called Cedar Lake. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not. But other people give to Goodwill or to the Salvation Army. What we give is not junk, but it is stuff that we no longer need or want. That's not a sacrifice. Now, if we were to give up something that was very important to us, something very valuable, something that we wanted to hold on to at all cost, and we gave it up willingly, then that would be a sacrifice. The other definition, part of that definition, says that sacrificing is done for the sake of something or someone. I mentioned those who gave us their very lives in order for us to live in freedom, live in liberty. As I said before, they also did it for you and me and everyone else in our country so that we could continue to live in freedom. The greatest sacrifice of all, the greatest example of sacrifice, was that which Jesus did on the cross. He died not for himself, but for all people. He died for you and for me. In addition to sacrificing for other people, sometimes people sacrifice for a cause. I have heard people who gave their last dollar or something that they really treasured in order to advance a cause of some kind or another. Jesus once pointed out a widow who gave an offering in the temple. While some were giving large offerings, it did not impress Jesus at all. Why? because they were giving out of their wealth. The reason why the widow's gift was so impressive was that she gave out of her poverty, or she gave all that she had to live on. Imagine that. She had nothing else. That is why we call that a sacrifice. We should also remember the sacrifice that Abraham was called on to make. He and his wife Sarah had prayed for years that they might have a son. They might have someone to carry on in the family. And we know that Isaac came along as a sort of miracle child. Imagine the mixed emotions that he must have had, that Abraham must have had when God spoke to him and said, I want you to take your one and only son up to this mountain and sacrifice him to me. The Lord told him to go to that place to sacrifice that son. Of course, the Lord never intended for him to go through with it, but he was testing Abraham's faith and loyalty. And he passed that test, believing that even if he had sacrificed his son, God was willing and God was able to bring him back to life. The idea of sacrifice is found in the Old Testament, in that system of sacrifices that were presented, these offerings, these sacrifices that were brought to the Lord, to the temple, given to the priests, and they were presented in the tabernacle and the temple. These sacrifices represented a kind of payment for sin, for the forgiveness of sins, and the offerings of thanksgiving to the Lord for His goodness and for His faithfulness in caring for His people. All of the people were required to bring these sacrifices, to bring these offerings to the Lord at different times of the year. They had these festivals, and during those festivals, they were required to come and to bring those sacrifices to the Lord. And they were based on certain festivals and also on the ability of the people that were able to, the ability of the people to pay. In other words, it was kind of geared to their incomes. Whatever they brought to the Lord, however, was supposed to be the first and the best of what they had. The idea of sacrificing was very common among the people at that time because they were just accustomed to bringing sacrifices to the Lord. Thinking about all of that, to follow Jesus may be that we will be involved in sacrificing. It may cause us to have to be willing to sacrifice. What will we be called on to sacrifice? We know that among the 12 original disciples of Jesus, all were killed for the cause of Christ except John, who they attempted to kill, but lived his life on out after that. I think there was in the bulletin today, there was a list of the various disciples that were killed in various ways according to tradition. We don't know for sure if that's the way it happened, but traditionally this is what it was. We are told how they all died, and they are all sacrificed. They were all martyred in some way or another. So we know that they all had given their lives to Jesus, and that also involved Paul and James, the brother of Jesus. All laid down their lives rather than compromise their commitment to Jesus. Throughout history, there have been many others who have refused to back down on their commitment to Christ and were willing to give up their very lives. One of the church fathers, which were the second generation of leaders in the church, some of whom had been taught by the original apostles, one of those by the name of Polycarp was burned at the stake, or at least they tried to burn him at the stake, and they couldn't get it to burn, so they ended up stabbing him to death. But he was martyred for Jesus because he said at that time, I've served him all of these years and he has never once let me down or never once failed me, so how can I fail him in this time? And he was martyred. He was killed when he was 80 years old. There's a book called The Fox's Martyrs. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. You might have it in your library. But it is a description that details many of the examples of people who were tortured mercilessly and who were finally killed. Why? Because they were Christians, because they were followers of Jesus. We also know that Christians in certain countries face hardships and suffering. And yes, even death today. As I have noted before, the attitude toward Christianity in our own culture, in our own country, has changed considerably in the past 20 years. Whereas one time there was more or less a lot of indifference, now there is outright hostility. I don't know if you've picked up on that or if you've been subject to that, but it could be in times to come we will face that in our own lives as Christians. We will be called upon to sacrifice in the same way that Christians have. I don't know if we'll have to do that or not. We don't know. But aside from that drastic type of sacrifice, we may find that we need to give up other things in order to be faithful in our commitment to Jesus. Some people have had to give up friendships or relationships because they were negatively influenced. I know that there have been people who came out of certain families or came out of certain situations. They had friends who were not Christians. And if they would go back into those situations, it would have a bad effect on their faith. So sometimes they just give those associations up. Others have given up jobs because they were called upon or asked to compromise their convictions or not given any opportunity, perhaps, to share their faith in those situations. And so they just gave up their job rather than be intimidated. Some have felt the need to give up riches or material possessions because they felt they were interfering with their loyalty to Christ. You know, it's possible for riches and material possessions to get in the way of our commitment to Jesus. Remember the story of the rich young ruler, how he came to Jesus. I've noted that before. And he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He had great riches. I remember reading about a man who lived in a country that was dominated by a certain religion other than Christianity. And one day he was exposed to Christianity. He decided that he wanted to become a Christian. So he laid down his life in that sense because his family disowned him and shunned him and had no more to do with him. In fact, his family said, "He is as good as dead. He is as good as dead to us. We have nothing further to do with him." His family was no longer able to have a place for him in their lives. Yes, there are sacrifices that people sometimes are called to make in order to follow Jesus. And those kind of sacrifices, whatever they be, they might be small things. They might be large things. They might be things that are common to us or are very real to us. When we are faced with a challenge, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to be committed to Jesus? No matter what, are we going to follow him? No matter what the cost might be. Aside from those kinds of sacrifice, we see some other types that are mentioned in the New Testament. And for the rest of our time together, I just want to look at three of those. The first one is a familiar passage from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. Romans 12:1, you've all heard this many times before. "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Paul says that we should be willing to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Obviously, he did not mean that we come to the priest and get on the altar and the priest slays us as a sacrifice. He wasn't talking about that. We no longer need to do that since Jesus sacrificed himself for us once and for all. No, he said that we should be willing to be a living sacrifice in order to follow Jesus. We are accepting a sacrificial kind of life. We are accepting a certain discipline for our lives. that's pretty much what discipleship means. In some of Paul's letters, he makes a point of emphasizing a higher standard that we who are Christians live by. And a part of that is a higher moral standard that we live by. One reason for that was that the world of Paul's day was characterized by rampant immorality. Some of the pagan religions even advocated sexual immorality. Following Jesus, my friends, is not just a spiritual matter. It's not just a matter of our spiritual part of the spiritual part of us. It also applies to the physical side of our lives. In fact, includes every part of us, body, soul, and spirit. What do we see when we look out at the culture in which we live today? What do we see? What are we experiencing? How have the standards of morality changed even in our lifetimes? As Christians, we are called to live according to the standard of the world. We are called to live according to God's standard, which is higher standard. When we commit to following Jesus, we are saying, Lord, I'm putting my whole life in your hands, and that includes my body. That's the least that I can do. Our bodies. You know, God can work through our bodies. God can use us in a bodily way to advance His cause. When we do that, Paul says, it is like offering a sacrifice, and it is really an act of worship. The second scripture concerning sacrifice is found in Hebrews 13:15. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that praise His name. We have all given the Lord our praise and our worship, but there's a time when praising Him could be considered sacrificial. When we are here together on the Lord's Day, offering worship to the Lord and praising Him, it's a fairly easy thing to do. But if we're out there in the world and we hear people talking in a certain way, a negative way toward our faith or toward God or toward Jesus, what do? Do we say anything? Do we rise up and answer? Or do we just keep quiet? We're watching something on Huckabee last night about what has happened to our educational system in this country, about how our children are being stolen away from their parents by the things that are being taught in our public schools. And he said it's happened because Christians, and he was saying especially conservative Christians, have been asleep and haven't risen up and haven't protested and haven't done anything about it. So there's a time when maybe we have to rise up and take a stand. When we are here in church, it's fairly easy for us to be Christians. Fairly easy for us even to worship God and to praise His name. But it becomes a sacrifice when it's hard for us to do. Perhaps we don't feel like praising God sometimes. You ever been there? Maybe you just don't feel up to it. Maybe we're in the midst of some trial and we're not in the mood to be praising God. There are times when we don't feel well and it's hard to praise and to offer God praise. In times like that, it may seem too hard to praise the Lord. But that and those times may be the best times of all, the most important times of all. The writer of Hebrews also makes it clear that he is talking about something that we do outwardly. You know, we can think about it. We can think within ourselves, yes, I need to praise God, and I want to praise God, and I will praise Him. I'll do it silently. But there are times when we need to do it outwardly as well. The fruit of our lips. We can think about it, we can feel it inwardly, but we really need to express it in words. If we can't say it outright, maybe we could sing it. Personally, I found that to be a great outlet. You know, that's also a great way to memorize scripture. There's so many scripture songs. And I have a hard time just memorizing scripture and remembering one day the next and remembering the reference or wherever it is. But to memorize a song with the words of the Lord in it, with the scriptures in it, is a way for us to be able to keep that in our hearts. Regardless of how we do it, it is important for us to remember that to offer God our praise can be a sacrifice sometimes. The third scripture is found in 1 Peter 2:5, and it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We can see a couple of images that are portrayed in that scripture from Peter as it relates to Christians. First, it tells us that we are like living stones being built into a spiritual house. I've always been fascinated by the work of stonemasons and bricklayers. So I could just sit and watch them all day. Take those bricks, take those stones and fit them together and build up something. A wall or whatever they might be building. My father could do that kind of work. He could do stonemason work and bricklayer's work, and I wanted him to teach me how to do it, but we just never got around to it. But we see this idea, this picture that Peter is painting, more or less, just how God is taking the bricks and taking the stone, which means he's taking you and he's taking me. And sometimes there have to be alterations in those things in order to be able to fit them together with others. And that's the important part of it, being fitted together with others. Try to get this picture in your mind's eye. The stones are Christians who are being fitted together in order to build this spiritual house. Sometimes those stones are just fine the way they are, and sometimes they have to be altered a bit. But regardless, the one doing the fitting is the Lord himself, and the end result is that spiritual sacrifices will be offered to the Lord, to God. To me, that is a picture of the church and the various parts that go into making it all work together. You are a part, I'm a part, all of God's people are a part, and we're fitted together. God is the one who takes that and fits it together and makes a spiritual house out of it. And through that house, God is offered spiritual sacrifices. Just as Jesus laid down his life for us, so we lay down our lives to him. We turn our lives over to Jesus and we live for him. Sometimes it might be harder to live for him even than to die for him. In that way, our lives are sacrificial offerings to the Lord. And I believe that pleases him. And that, I think, is what it means to be a sacrifice unto the Lord. Let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've called us to be living sacrifices to you. Father, help us to live out our times, our days, our weeks, our months, our years, conscious of the fact that we are your people and that we're being fitted together to make a holy place, Father, through which sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, praise and worship can be offered to you, and through which you can reach out into the world and touch people's lives. Father, we want to be living sacrifices to you, and we thank you for calling us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.